What if you received this text or this note? Everybody has found out what you are doing. If I were you, I would get out of town. Would you have any guilt feelings? Noel Coward, the famous playwright, so famous I've never heard of him, but he pulled an interesting prank. This was several years ago. I think that's why I haven't heard of him, but he sent this note to 20 prominent, famous men in London, England. Everybody has found out what you're doing. If I were you, I would get out of town. And from what I read, supposedly these 20 men got out of town. What would you do if you got this note? What would race through your mind? Would you be tempted to leave town? What if King David of Israel would have received this note? Do you think he would have left town? It would appear that David, at least in his mind, had been successful in covering up his sin. After his adulterous affair with Bathsheba, and then his plan to get rid of Bathsheba's husband Uriah, all that worked. And perhaps he was thinking, well, I've covered it up, and no one will ever know. After Uriah's death, he married Bathsheba. The child that was conceived during their affair was born. And it would appear that all was unknown to others. But the thing 2 Samuel 11 says that David had done displeased the Lord. Some have suggested that it was about a year before God sent Nathan the prophet to confront David about his sin. Think about that. A year after the fact, and now Nathan is confronting David. And we won't take the time to look at how Nathan did that, but when he told this story and it angered David, Nathan was able to point out from that story, you're the man. You're the one who has done this terrible thing. And David was convicted. But during that, if it was a year after that, those sins, did he feel any guilt about that? Well, apparently Psalm 32 was one of the psalms that was written by David after Nathan confronted him. And I think it gives us some insight as to what David was thinking during that time. Let's look at, first of all, the idea of guilt and feeling guilty. Guilt and feeling guilty. David is guilty, right? He has broken the law of God. He has sinned in the sight of God, something that he would ultimately acknowledge. But first, he's trying to cover it up and ignore it. But he is guilty. But does he feel guilty? That's my question. Does he feel guilty? Because it is possible to be guilty without feeling guilty. What is guilt? Most would say it's an emotional feeling or a particular sin. Do you see the distinction there? Some say it's a feeling you feel. Others would say it's a particular sin. What does it mean to be guilty? Well, our modern definition would define guilty as a judicial status within a particular legal framework. If you break a law, you do the crime, then you are guilty. It's a matter of judicial status. In the Bible, being guilty is to find oneself in violation of divine commandment. It may be directed, the offense may be directed toward God or towards others. But if you do those offenses, then you are guilty. You have that judicial status. In fact, as Tim Martin points out, in examining the scriptures, we can see that the concept of guilt is not one that deals with how people feel, but what people have. Guilt is the possession of sin. If you don't do what God commands, you have guilt. Merriam-Webster has this definition that I think is applicable to the biblical concept. It's responsibility for a crime or for doing something bad or wrong, the state of one who has committed an offense, especially consciously. But biblically speaking, Tim Martin informs us, How a person feels is irrelevant. They either have guilt or they don't. Now watch this as we make application. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means we're guilty, whether we feel it or not. Well, David is guilty. Again, the question is, does he feel any guilt? Well, look at verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 32. Sandwiched between the joy of forgiveness and what he did about his sin is how he feels. And I suggest this points back to, if it was a year, the year after David committed those sins and before he was confronted by Nathan. How did he feel? Verse 3, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand, speaking of God, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Sounds like he felt guilty too, doesn't it? When I kept silent, at first David tried to ignore his guilt, perhaps hoping it would go away. He tried to conceal it, to cover it up, to be silent about it, and hopefully being able to do away with it. But he said, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. You see, these feelings of guilt were affecting him physically and emotionally, and yes, even spiritually. As one writer says, guilt depresses your mind, it crushes your spirit, it discourages your body from functioning positively and effectively. The result, you feel hopeless, helpless, and worthless. David said, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. He felt the pressure, the burden of that guilt, and he felt like if God was putting that weight on his shoulders, day and night your hand was heavy upon me. During the day, guilt can affect you in the sense that you can't think properly. And it's always in the back of your mind, and it affects the way you view things and see things. It disturbs your daily activities. It'll disturb your sleep. We can't relax. We toss and turn. Our rest is everything but sweet. And David says, my vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Guilt saps our energy. We become tired and depressed. Brian McAllister, in our one-word devotional book, put it like this. Guilt is the fuel of depressed days, sorrowful sleep, and absent affections. Between those we've deceived and us, guilt does not bless, it only burdens. It supplies no answers, only anguish. Folks, we are guilty. We may or may not feel guilty, but our guilt remains. But sometimes we do feel this guilt as well. And that's a good thing. Guilt serves a purpose. It can be very valuable to us if we handle it properly. Dan Eubanks wrote, the ability to feel guilt was intended by God for our good and never for our harm. It is religiously healthy and is intended to serve as a temporary pain which will turn us back in the right direction and then be resolved. So what do we do with guilt? And what do we do with those guilty feelings? What do we do with that judicial status as being convicted as sinners? We're guilty. And then what do we do about those feelings, those burdensome feelings of guilt? The good news is there is a remedy for both. For both. Both the judicial status and for those burdensome feelings that often accompany it. How do we deal with guilt? Look at what David did with it. Verse 5 of Psalm 32. There's only one antidote to guilt, and that is forgiveness. That's the only thing that can cure, that can repair, that can do away with guilt, is forgiveness. So the first thing we have to do is what David did, is acknowledge sin. In verses 3 and 4, we read about how he felt guilt, about his guilt. But now he acknowledges it. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. He'd been trying to hide it. He tried to cover it up. He tried to sweep it under the rug. He tried to be silent about it, hoping that no one would find out. But God knew all along. And I believe David knew that. He knew that God knew. And he certainly knew. So he is, his conscience is hurting. He's being attacked by this burdensome feeling of guilt. And finally, he says, I cannot hide it anymore. I acknowledge my sin to you. I refuse to hide it. And so David instructs us, don't try to ignore it. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to blame it on somebody else. Acknowledge it and confess it. And then seek the right remedy. David, because of his guilt and his guilty feelings, turned to the Lord. He sought the Lord's remedy. He sought the Lord's forgiveness. We sing the song, what can wash away my sin? And the answer we also sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How appropriate is it that we just sang about the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. What do we do with our guilt, with our guilty feelings? There's only one remedy, it's forgiveness. And it's the forgiveness that God made possible through the gift of His Son Jesus, the Lamb of God, taking upon Himself our sins, paying the price for our sins, so that by His blood our sins can be washed away. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. There's the remedy, right there. For guilt and for guilty feelings, it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. We initially come in contact with the blood of Jesus in baptism when we turn from our sin in repentance, when we confess the sweet name of Jesus and we're baptized into Christ. The blood of Jesus washes away our sins. Peter said to some convicted, guilty, and feeling the guilt sinners, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, he said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. What shall we do? They asked. They knew they'd crucified the Messiah, the Son of God. Is there any hope for us? They're asking. What do we do with this guilt? Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And your sins are forgiven. And once we become Christians, we continue to come in contact with the cleansing blood of Jesus as we continue to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light, if we continue to walk in the light is the idea. As He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us, or continues to cleanse us from all sin. Verse 9 of 1 John tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins. As Christians, when we stumble and fall, what do we do with the guilt and the feelings of guilt that accompany those sins? We go to the right remedy. We go back to Jesus. We confess that sin and turn from it and ask God to forgive us. And when we do that, He has promised to wash away our sins by the blood of Jesus. Brian McAllister also wrote in our One Word books, guilt is good if we allow it to lead us to our God's greatness. A broken heart because of sin is better than a heart bent on ignoring sin. A heart burdened, carrying the regret of sin, is better than a heart blinded from the continuance of sin. Our brokenness and our burdens can be a blessing if we embrace the forgiveness of our God. Which brings us to a third thing we need to do. We need to acknowledge our sin. We need to seek the right remedy, the blood of Jesus. But then we need to accept God's forgiveness. I used to say, then we need to forgive ourselves. But I've changed that. Now we need to accept God's forgiveness, fully accept it. When God has forgiven us, we must accept it. We must accept the fact that we are forgiven. That's what David did. And that's what brings us back to the first two verses of Psalm 32. Now, these two verses, in the middle, he's talked about the guilt that he felt because of his guilt. Verse 5, what he did about it. But verses 1 and 2 tell us about how he feels now that he has received that forgiveness. He talks about the joy of forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Look at that line by line. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. It should be no surprise to us to learn that that word forgiven in the original Hebrew language has the idea of lifting a burden. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me, David had said. He felt that burden, that weight of sin and guilt, and those feelings of guilt on his life. But he said, blessed is the man whose sin is lifted. That burden is lifted. Happy is the man whose burden of guilt has been lifted. Blessed is he whose sin is covered. Not covered in the sense of what David had been doing and trying to cover it up. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who covers his sins in that sense will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. You try to cover it up, you try to disguise it, hoping it'll go away. That's not what brings blessedness. But blessed is the one whose sin is covered by God. Blessed is the one whose sin is covered by God. And blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. The word impute there. I noticed Jonathan read, does not count our sins against us. Impute is a mathematical or a bookkeeping term. It's as if God, when we sin, is keeping a record of our sins. But when he forgives us, he wipes out the record. He no longer has a record of such on the ledger. Blessed is that man. And blessed is the man in whose spirit there is no deceit. David had been deceitful, hadn't he? But he came clean. He said, I've hidden it, but no longer. I'm going to acknowledge it. I'm going to confess it. He came clean. No more deceit. No more lies. No more shams. I'm coming clean. And blessed is that man in whom there is nothing false. Not trying to hide anything. Motives are pure. We're open and honest. That's the joy of forgiveness. Blessed is that man. Let me remind you of some things that God does with our sins when he forgives them. Three passages of Scripture. Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. It's figurative, poetic language. But the idea when God takes our sins away from us, he buries them in the bottom of the deepest part of the ocean. And someone said he even puts up a sign and says, no fishing. He buries them. They're gone. Psalm 103, verse 12, very picturesque language. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You can't get any further apart than that. Hebrews 8, verse 12, in the blessings of the new covenant, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. I'm not going to bring them up again. They're gone. They're forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus. Folks, when God forgives us, we need to accept His forgiveness. In fact, if we continue to harbor our guilt, if we continue to beat ourselves up over those sins, even though they've been washed by the blood of Jesus, we're doubting God and we're living a life of the past. I love the story, I want to tell you again, about a story I read about a benevolent medical doctor who would often check his books, and he would find these patients of his who had outstanding debts. And sometimes he'd know about their situation and how they were just unable financially to pay off their debt. And so on occasion, he would take a pen and with his own handwriting would write next to their debt, he'd cross it out and say, "Forgiven, unable to pay. Forgiven, unable to pay." Well, he passed away, and his widow tried to collect on these debts. And they took it to court, and the judge asked, well, how do you know that these debts are outstanding? And she said, "It's all here in the ledger." And he said, "Let me see it." And he began to read it, and he would note that by some of these debts, he'd find that handwriting, "Forgiven, unable to pay." And he asked, "Well, whose handwriting is this?" And the widow said, "Well, that's my husband's." Well, the judge said, "Then no court in the world would give you a verdict against these people when your husband with his own pen has written, 'Forgiven, unable to pay.'" Folks, when we trust and obey Jesus, the great physician with his own blood writes upon the debt of our sin, "Forgiven, unable to pay." In fact, He paid the debt. He paid the debt at Calvary. We sing, "He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, 'Amazing Grace.' Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay." Are you burdened with the guilt of sin? If so, then acknowledge it. Repent of it. Seek the right remedy. And that remedy is in the blood of Jesus. And it may be that you're ready to be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away by His blood. It may be that you have wandered away as a Christian and have sinned and are ready to acknowledge that and ask God for forgiveness. And you may want the prayers of the church to that end so that the blood of Jesus can wash away those sins. Please do that. And when you do, accept God's forgiveness because He has forgiven you. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, please come right now as we stand and sing.